4.1 for legal minutes dated August 14, 2024. And item 4.2, request for an excuse absence for Commissioner Burrows from the August 14, 2024 Planning Commission meeting.
Aye.
I think we have to move to, is there public comment on any of these items?
There is no public comment on this item.
All right. Is there a motion to approve, Commissioner? Vice Chair motion makes a motion to approve. Is there a second? Commissioner Fauber seconds. Please call for the vote.
For clarification, was that Vice Chair Torres that made the motion and Commissioner Fauber that seconded?
Yes.
I could just call out the name and see what the vote is. Okay, so Commissioner Burrows?
Yes.
I say yes for Commissioner Burrows. Commissioner Fauber?
Yes.
Yes for Fauber. Commissioner Combs?
Yes.
Yes for Combs. Commissioner Leal?
Yes.
Yes for Leal. Commissioner Sanfilippo? Filippo? Yes. And Vice Chair Torres?
Aye.
And Chair De La Rosa?
Yes. So that motion passes with all commissioners voting, all commissioners present voting yes. Madam Secretary, moving to item number 5, public comment. Is there any public comment?
There are 42 public comments. There are an opposed, and they're for item 6.1, but they were just under item 5. But there's 42 opposed.
42 items opposed. 42 submitted comments in the close of item 6.1.
Correct.
We have been that was on the consent calendar. Yep.
Okay, we approved the 4.1 form. It was all included in the consent calendar. Thank you, Commissioner Fauber, for bringing it up. All right, so we'll move on to item 6.1, which is the rezoning of the northwestern quadrant of the Otay Ranch Town Center Shopping Mall from commercial to mixed-use residential, located at 2015 Birch Road. Arturo Artuno, Senior Planner with the Development Services Department, will be presenting on behalf of staff. Sir, please.
Good evening, Chair De La Rosa and Planning Commissioners. My name is Arturo Artuno, Senior Planner with Development Services Department. The item before you this evening is a request to approve and certify a fourth addendum to Final Environmental Impact Report number 0204, amend the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area Plan and the Associated Plan Community District Regulations, and a zone change to modify the existing land use plan to reduce the entitled commercial space from 960,000 square feet to 816,000 square feet and incorporate a mixed-use residential designation allowing up to 840 multifamily dwellings with optional ground floor commercial space. The project would include redevelopment of approximately 37,500 square feet of existing commercial space within the existing Otay Ranch Town Center. The project provides approximately 2.56 acres of additional usable parkland, payment of in-lieu park benefit fees related to 4.01 additional usable parkland acres, and an enhanced existing plaza space. The project also includes a tentative map that proposed to extend Town Center Drive from Ring Road into the existing shopping center, implements minor modifications to existing internal street, and closes a portion of Kestrel Falls Road to vehicle traffic, allowing expansion and enhancement of the Otay Ranch Center Plaza. Additionally, the project includes a development agreement. The Otay Ranch Freeway commercial sectional planning area is surrounded by Otay Ranch Village 6 to the west, East Lake Planned Community to the north, Village 11 to the east, and Eastern Urban Center, also known as Millennium, to the south. The project site is specifically located east of State Route 125, south of Olympic Parkway, west of East Lake Parkway, and north of Birch Road. The Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area is divided into two separate areas, Freeway Commercial North, also referred to FC2, shown on the slide as yellow, which is not part of this amendment, and Freeway Commercial South, also referred to as FC1, shown here in blue, which is the site of the existing Otay Ranch Town Center Mall. The proposed project is limited to the FC1 district, specifically the northwest quadrant of the existing mall, shown here in red. The Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area Plan and associated tentative map, which entitled approximately over 1 million non-residential square footage, and the environmental impact report were first adopted on April 1st, 2003. In May 2015, an amendment was approved by City Council to develop 600 multifamily residential units, 15,000 square feet of ground floor retail, a 2-acre urban park, and two hotels within the 36-acre FC2 district. In May 2019, the city approved adding 300 residential units to the FC2 district. In 2022, General Growth Properties, Otay Ranch LP, the applicant, submitted an application to amend the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area Plan and associated documents. In April of the same year, the application was deemed complete to start city review. This slide shows a zoning map comparison from the latest amendment of the sectional planning area plan approval to the current proposed amendment. This comparison shows the applicant's request to incorporate a mixed-use residential designation within FC1 district, shown on the right in the magenta color, which would allow up to 840 multifamily dwellings with optional ground floor commercial space. This slide reflects existing conditions of the Otay Ranch Town Center. The existing mall is improved with approximately just under 700,000 square feet of non-residential uses. The northwest quadrant of the mall is currently occupied by a soccer facility that was approved in 2015, which operates year-round. Kestrel Falls Road is a private internal road within the mall, which is one of the main entrances to the mall from East Lake Parkway. The area shaded in yellow is the Macy's property, which is not part of this project and will not be affected by the proposed amendment. This slide showcases the key changes associated with this proposed project. First key change would be the extension of Town Center Drive southward from Ring Road towards the existing mall. The extension of Town Center Drive will end at a new entry plaza directly north of the existing food pavilion. Partial closure of Kestrel Falls Road adjacent to the food pavilion to vehicle traffic. As mentioned earlier, the portion of Kestrel Falls Road that would be closed to vehicle traffic is private road within the mall. The partial closure of Kestrel Falls Road will allow the enhancement and expansion of the existing outdoor plaza with optional amenities such as additional seating, lawn space, and trees. The project will provide three additional park lots, which are envisioned as passive and active spaces. Final design will be determined during the design review process. Lastly, modifications to internal street in the northwest quadrant of the site. Additionally, in an effort to streamline the development process within this district, the proposed amendment would authorize a zoning administrator to review and approve subsequent design review permits. Each design review application will follow standard noticing requirements and appeal process to allow any interested person to provide public input or request for public hearing. A similar request for a different project was brought forward to this commission earlier this year and was approved. This table provides more details on the land use changes as it relates to residential unit count and acreages from the current 2019 plan to the proposed amendment. First row shows a reduction of approximately 16.59 acres currently entitled for regional serving commercial uses. A portion of the 16.59 acres reduction would go towards the proposed mixed-use residential land use, allowing up to 840 residential units. The project will also provide 2.73 acres of public park. The project is credited for only 2.56 of parkland usable acres due to significant slopes within one of the designated park lots. And as mentioned earlier, there is no proposed changes to the FC2 North District. The existing freeway commercial sectional planning area plan allocates 960,000 square feet of commercial uses to the Otay Ranch Town Center. The existing mall is improved with 669,700 square feet. This leaves a balance of existing unbuilt entitled commercial space of 290,300 square feet of future mall expansion. Tonight's action is requesting to remove 144,000 square feet of commercial space from the mall to allow a maximum of 860,000 square feet. As currently built, the existing mall has a floor area ratio of 0.196. There are currently 14.23 acres of vacant land owned by the developer included in the proposed project. Applying the floor area ratio of 0.196 to the 14.23 vacant acres proposed for rezone equates to 121,492 square feet of potential commercial space. The requested reduction of the 144,000 square feet of commercial space added to what could be developed on the existing vacant land totals to 265,492 square feet of commercial space that could be constructed today.
These next slides are going to walk you through the deal terms within the development agreement that are included as attachment 9 in your agenda packet. The development agreement has a term of 15 years split into three phases. The first phase would be required to start within 7 years of the execution of the agreement. All necessary approvals, permits, and permits to commence grading activities is required by that 7th year. This phase must include the construction of a minimum of 100 residential units. If this timeline is not met, the development agreement shall immediately and automatically terminate. The city shall have the right to initiate rezoning action to revert zoning back to freeway commercial zoning. If the grading activities commence within the 7 years, a 5-year extension will be granted. Next slide. Phase two requires no less than 435 residential units to be fully entitled, permitted, and with grading completed and vertical construction starting for the entirety of phase two. This phase requires all of the phase one units to be completed and obtained a certificate of occupancy. These requirements must be met within 12 years from the date of execution. If these requirements are not met, the development agreement will be immediately and automatically terminated, and the city shall have the right to initiate rezoning action to revert zoning back to freeway commercial zoning. If the requirements are met in 12 years, a 3-year extension will be granted. Next slide. Phase three requires that all 840 units be fully entitled and have all grading and building permits issued by the city within 15 years of execution of the agreement. If these requirements are not met within the 15 years, the development agreement will immediately and automatically terminate. The city shall have the right to initiate rezoning actions to revert zoning back to freeway commercial for lots 7 and 8. Next slide. The project requires a Community Purpose Facility, or CPF, obligation of 1.56 acres for the 435 units. A CPF obligation of 3.01 acres is required for the 840 units. Prior to the recordation of the final map, a CPF agreement shall be entered into. Potential options in the agreement would be additional deed-restricted affordable units above the required 10% that's already included in the project. Next slide. Or providing affordable CPF space for tenant improvements that would result in a rent-free space in the mall property. As shown here, the current FAR of 0.196 for the existing malls applied to this potential CPF space. The final CPF obligation will be determined at the future CPF agreement negotiated between the city and the developer. Next slide. The project is required to provide up to 6.57 usable acres of developed parkland if the project constructs 840 units. If built in phases, the amount of parkland provided in each phase shall be proportional to the units built, as indicated in the chart shown on the slide. Next slide. After construction of the 350th residential unit, the remaining parkland obligations of up to 4.01 usable acres will be satisfied via payment of in-lieu park benefit fees. And the final deal point is a public benefit contribution of 5,000 units per residential unit built by the project.
Pursuant to Council Policy 400-02, a community meeting was held for the surrounding communities on July 19, 2022 at the Otay Ranch Town Center. Questions and concerns of the community included issues related to market status of the proposed residential units, potential commercial uses, on-site vehicle circulation, and potential impacts to parking, noise, and public infrastructure. Part of the action tonight is the certification of the fourth addendum to the final environmental impact report 020204. The purpose of the addendum to an environmental impact report is to analyze circumstances not analyzed in the original report that was certified on April 1st, 2003. As mentioned earlier, the project proposes to reduce the entitled commercial square footage from 960,000 to 860,000 square feet, and currently has 290,300 square feet of unbuilt entitled commercial space. The addendum determined that impacts to land use compatibility and compliance to be less than significant and no mitigation required. A parking assessment conducted for the project determined that the existing parking can accommodate existing and future parking with an excess of 101 spaces. Lastly, a traffic and mobility study prepared for the project determined the project will generate the same amount of daily traffic as the original entitled commercial center. All of these factors were analyzed in the fourth addendum and technical studies included in your packet tonight. The environmental impact report addendum concluded that no new significant environmental impacts are anticipated as a result to the proposed changes to the Otay Ranch Freeway commercial sectional planning area, and that the mitigation measures from the 2003 final environmental impact report are still applicable to the project. Staff recommends the Planning Commission conduct a public hearing and consider a resolution recommending that the City Council consider a resolution taking action on certification of the fourth addendum to final environmental impact report 0204, amendments to the Chula Vista General Plan, the Otay Ranch General Development Plan, and the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area Plan, and a tentative map, and consider placing an ordinance on first reading concerning modifications to the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Plan Community District Regulations for the south portion of the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Sectional Planning Area, a change in zoning from commercial to mixed-use residential, and a development agreement. This concludes staff's report. Staff's available for any questions. At this time, we would like to invite Victor Avina, a representative of the applicant, to make a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Victor Vigna. I'm with Falcon Strategies. We are the firm on this project doing community outreach. It's really good to be in front of you today for this evolution of the Otay Ranch Town Center that brings forth the introduction of mixed-use residential to the site. As you heard in Arturo's presentation, this is a project that will be built over three phases. But it's important to note that the action before you is a rezone and not a specific project. That would be a separate future presentation or submission, and so any product type, and we'll go in this a little bit more detail further in the presentation, has not been decided. It's something that we've heard from the community, and that's what I'm here to talk about as the community outreach consultant on the project. Following me will be Tony Pauker. He'll go into the kind of land use elements of the project, and that's what's in front of you today. But any land use decisions that are made on this dais are inseparable from community impacts. And so the project team has been very diligent in doing community outreach over the last probably 3 years to engage the community on this project. Can I do the cue? Yeah, sorry about that, the button's not working. And so I'm going to touch on the public outreach, if we could go to the next slide. We've been engaged deeply with the community from the very start. We made it a priority. I'm sorry, the next slide, please. Thank you. So We've made this a priority to do a lot of community outreach. We use every trick in the book, so to speak, whether that's social media, text campaigns, outreach to the surrounding HOAs. We were at farmers markets. We did an open house. And so we did a lot of different tactics to try to reach the community. But the one that I'm most proud of that I think was very substantive in the results that came from it is the formation of a community advisory group. And so this is made up of folks from around the community, passionate, thoughtful individuals that care about Chula Vista like we do. They are employees of nonprofits. They are business representatives. They are folks that are involved in the community. And their feedback has been instrumental on this project, so much so that some of the key tenets and parts of the vision that we'll show you have changed as a result of their input. Very proud of that, and we'll share that with you in just a second here. We did a lot of outreach to organizations as well. As you all probably know, the First Friday Breakfast is a get-together of a lot of the community members. First Friday down at the golf course, we did a presentation there. We did briefings with individual mall tenants, right? They have a big stake into what happens here at the town center, and so we wanted to make sure to engage them. We heard a lot of concerns, as you heard, about traffic, what happened to the kids and where will they go to school. So we did outreach to the school districts. We tried to hit everyone that had a big stake in this. Next slide, please. We're proud to have, over the course of that outreach, earned the support of many organizations. The Chula Vista Chamber of Commerce, the Regional Chamber of Commerce, South County EDC, Asian Business Association, and Yimby Democrats of San Diego County are some of the big flagship organizations. And so we're proud of the efforts that we did here. We're excited to bring this forward to you. I'm going to invite my colleague Tony Pauper up to walk through for you the vision of this. This is a land use decision, but there's a vision behind it all. So Tony, you wanna come on up?
Thank you. Thank you, staff. Arturo and Laura, you did a great job. You've covered almost everything I'm gonna talk about, so I'm only gonna highlight. I wanna make sure I know how to use this machine.
Just indicate next slide, the button on the right.
Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. Thank you, Arturo. So what I'm going to talk about is just to highlight a couple things about some parts of the overall vision. As you can see from this aerial, the northwest quadrant is not developed really other than the soccer fields. So really one of the big intents is to bring activation to the mall, that activation being the residential. Well, let's go to the next slide. And what the activation is also going to do is we're going to realign and I'd call it rationalize some roads. We're going to look at, as has been said, Kestrel Falls Main Street, potential reimagining some retail in the later phases as we get to the retail that's opposite the Macy's. I want to stress again, in this project, there will be no net loss of retail square footage. Anything that is removed is replaced, so there is no net loss. I'd also like to highlight, as Arturo mentioned, there's about 290,000 square feet of unused retail entitlement today. About half of that will become residential. That still leaves about 146,000 square feet of unused retail entitlement that could be exercised at some future point in time. That's not part of our project. If we could go to the next slide. These show some important things about the vision of the project. Go to the next one. That's great. The upper part of the page that shows the new entry into the mall. As you know today, if you're at the Baldwin property to the north and go south, it's not a straight shot to the mall. You've got a dogleg drive around, it's a little awkward. This will create the new entry and portico to share to the mall for the north, as Arturo mentioned. As we go through the phases here, the plaza along Kestrel Falls would become a public park. In addition, in the upper left corner of this page, you will see the three, I'll call them super blocks, of which would house residential. The red area at the bottom represents the third phase, the last 3 years of the DA that Laura described. That's where we have the 30,500 square feet of existing retail. That's why it is the later phase, because that if that retail is very active and leased today, and at some future date, that retail would come down, be replaced with the same or more total square feet of retail with the residential above it. Again, no net loss of retail. So a couple other images that we'd like to share. This is the current entry to the mall on the north, excuse me, on the left. And on the right, that's how it would look in the future with another palm-lined street, but a direct access. And it shows what the scale could be of the portions of the residential. If we could go to the next one. When we talk about Main Street, this image here shows an example how if Main Street becomes a road for people, not for cars, it will help the activation of the mall. And if we go to the next page, this is representative of the plaza area of Kestrel Falls. It's also a representative of how introduction of parkland within the mall can make the overall mall property a better people place. And I will show and talk about that in a couple more slides. This one I think is a very interesting slide. If we could go to the next one, please, Arturo. This would be the final phase, the highest density that gets up to the 840 units. That would be over newly built retail. Currently on the left side of the page are tenants, if you've been to the mall, that you know and see, like Cotton On, and this would be replaced with new retail with density above. Okay, another important thing, if we could go to the next slide. What's important too is the circulation in the mall. So currently there are north, south, and east, west circulation points in the mall in the northeast corner and northwest corner, and those are shown here marked by the green lines. Obviously we've got the new entry from the north down to the Port of Cashier, but also this development will have three private roads, privately maintained roads, two that continue and reinforce north-south vehicular access to the mall, and the east-west road on the top that's kind of bisects the yellow residential area. So we will maintain the ability to drive north and through the mall, and we're not cutting off or walling off circulation. The next slide, please, starts to talk about the phases that Laura described as part of the DA. They will be eventually on the final map separate large parcels, but they're broken down into three major phases, as Laura described, that has some time frames. If we could go to that page, Arturo, this shows two things that I think are really important to the vision. The first one is if we go to the top of the page, Laura talked about phases 1, 2, and 3. Phase 1 within 7 years, phase 2 within an additional 5, and the final within 3. The call it dark blue or purple blue in the upper right-hand corner represents that first phase with at least 100 homes in it. Could be more. That's in the first 7 year period. And by the way, these 7 year periods are to allow market timing as we go to much higher density residential due to interest rates and construction costs have slowed and they will pick back up. So this is allowing time to ensure completion. So that dark purpley area is our first phase, that the outside date is the 7 years. We then go to the yellow phase to the left, which as Laura mentioned, cumulatively we'll have to have 435 homes on those two phases. Then we get to the final phase, which is the pale blue, where there's retail down below and retail on the ground today, and development of that is what would take us to the full 840. That's a phasing. Now also on this slide, we talked a little bit about the plaza, which is the X looking piece in sort of the lower right corner. This will also be adding additional public park space to the mall, and as Laura showed in one of the slides, it will be phased based on how much development there is. To the left of the pale blue, the bottom left corner of the yellow, is an area today that's essentially a dirt lot. That will serve double duty in that area. It is going to be where our underground water detention is for stormwater. We can't build on that, so it's an almost 1 acre public park on top of that. Further to the south, the two green pieces, there is there today, the dog park that's actually part of the tenant use. That will be expanded. It will cross the street and become also public parks in that corner. So we're adding public park to the mall again to make it a place for people. And with just a couple more slides to show, talking about what might be early scale of this. These are three-story townhomes, as you have seen throughout Chula Vista, including in Millennia across the street. This is the type of form you would be seeing in phase one. Some of the images you've seen of much higher scale are phases two and three. So this is the townhomes that one may see in the early first phase, or if that phase becomes a higher density, meaning more like a 30 plus acre walk-up apartment, similar in scale in the three or potentially four stories of walk-up apartment. We're really talking primarily about phase one, or possibly a blended phase one, two, and one and two density. These are purely representative and illustrative. These are not, as Victor said, we're not asking for any building approvals, design review, etc. These are just illustrative to get the scale and form. So I wanted to not run out my clock. We're done with our presentation, and then you can call us back for questions. That's good. Sure.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is James Varsamis. I'm on the retail side for Brookfield. Tony is our residential expert. I think one of the things I want to highlight is, why are we doing this? Shopping malls, adding residential is the future. This is the trend that we're seeing in a lot of our properties across the country. We have about 135 malls in our portfolio. Everywhere where we've added residential to the site, the tenant sales, the restaurants improve. We open up additional tenants that we currently can't get. And that's really one of the pieces that we really want to drive home, is because I know that we read the comments, and one of the comments was, what's going to happen to soccer fields? The soccer fields were in temporary use. We did that at a moment in time when we didn't know where we wanted to go with this vacant lot. We believe that the highest and best use is going to be residential, and it will ultimately continue to make Otay Ranch a stronger shopping destination. It's a good mall today. It continues to perform better. We've added some new tenants recently with Lululemon, and you have Yard House coming, and sales continue to improve. When we show tenants that we are adding mixed use to these projects, we always get positive reception from them, and we're able to get more tenants and demand at this shopping center. So we're doing this to continue to supplement and improve the mall. That's the fundamental reason why we're asking for this rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you. Does that conclude the applicant's presentation? Great, thank you. Thank you. So we'll move on to commissioners' questions and clarifying questions at this time. And we have a list here. So with Commissioner Feldman.
All right. A few questions. One is, I'm really confused. So the documents we've got in your presentation made it pretty clear that we're eliminating 144,000 square feet of commercial space. Their presentation said there's no net loss. So am I missing something, or is there a contradiction here?
So the 144,000 is the entitled square footage that they're proposing to reduce. Applicants, developers, correct, where there's no net loss, but the original entitlement allows for 960,000 square feet, and they're proposing to reduce that entitled to 816,000 square feet. Correct.
If I could clarify to Commissioner Felber, lots, can you put up the graphic with the lotting? Lots 7 and 8 that are proposed in the tentative map has an existing commercial building on it right now. So that is what the applicant's referring to for the 37,500 roughly existing square footage. That would be if the teal. If 7 and 8 were redeveloped, that existing building would have to be demolished. But then it would be rebuilt as a ground floor commercial with residential above. So that is why those are the last lots in the phasing of it. So when the developer is saying there's no net loss, there's no loss of existing square footage as part of this proposal, from a clarification standpoint. However, to Arturo's point, they are requesting a reduction in the overall square footage allowed for them all as part of this action as well.
Okay. Okay, that helps. So, what's the area that is the potential? Is it the yellow and purple areas that are potential retail that's being replaced?
Correct.
Okay. So, if the mall is reactivated as Hope, will there still be enough parking if the mall all of a sudden gets really busy because of all these new residential? I know some of the traffic would come from the housing that's being built around the area, but for people coming in because the mall's reactivated and hopefully more exciting and whatnot, is there still going to be enough parking for everybody that wants to come to the mall that doesn't live right in that area?
Yes. Yeah, so mentioned in the presentation, the parking assessment done for this project concluded that that the existing parking can accommodate existing and future retail with an excess of 101 spaces. And then obviously, once the design review permits come in for the actual apartments or the residential uses, those will be required to meet parking standards, which is set in the planning community district regulations.
Okay, and then how are we going to avoid parking conflicts of shoppers parking in the residential parking or vice versa, the residences parking in the shopping parking? How do we avoid that?
So that would be determined at the time of future design review. Right now you're asking for a land use change and you're asking for a tentative map with a rezone.
Okay, I think that's it for now. I might have some more as I continue to think and okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
Vice Chair Flores.
Could I have some questions for the applicant and for staff? One is with regard to let me just start off by saying when I read the staff report, one thing that really hit me. And I started digging deeper and deeper into the documents was in the staff report, a reference to what's being proposed to us, and I'll just read the one part. It says, with optional ground floor commercial space. When I see that word optional, then it tells me that something is not final. So, when I went to the master precise plan and the tentative map that was before us, the tentative map is suggesting that, in fact, what's being earmarked in this development is lot four, is where 37,200 square feet of commercial space will be built. I assume that's the ground floor of the residential units that's going to be constructed, correct? If the applicant wants to come up to the podium.
So the 37,500 square feet, there's a couple parts. It's the 37,500 square feet represents existing retail.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your tentative map here, lot four, you have designated 37,200 square feet of commercial space to be built there, yes or no?
As our civil engineer is looking at that, the question is, this is also creating a residential retail mixed-use zone. So down the road on the mixed-use zone, there could be a mix of residential and retail. Now, Chuck.
Yeah, and while he's doing that, let me, because there is a lot of confusion. When I looked at the master precise plan document that was provided to the commission, on page 55, it talked about the mixed-use buildings, and then it misidentified the location. It talked about fronting Main Street west of Agua Verde Avenue. Main Street is nowhere near there, okay, but Agua Verde Avenue is. So it says the planned use, it would be, again, assuming we're talking lot four, which is what's on the tentative map. It says mixed use with storefront, retail, commercial space. Again, this is a misidentification. It should be Ridge Avenue, not Main Street. And the Town Center Plaza with residential above, 2 to 6 story residential. Then it also says on page 56, residential buildings, location west side of Town Center Drive. Planned use, 2 to 6 story residential, mixed use is allowed and not required. With storefront, amenity space, or retail, commercial, residential above. So the reason why I'm bringing this up, because there seems to be an inconsistency with what is being presented to us, thus causing the confusion. You're saying that there will be no net loss of commercial. Then we find this ambiguity with regard to where is the commercial going to be built. So I understand what you're saying about the 37,500 that will be redeveloped, but what about the ground floor commercial development? Is that going to be lot four? Is that going to be 37,200 square feet? Yes or no?
He's talking about where you have a wrap product on the rendering.
Yeah.
You would potentially have reasonable rest for optionality. One could be townhouse density, and another could be wrap product density. If you go with the wrap design, you could add up to 30.
Why don't you come to the podium so we can hear you?
I'll just.
One of the renderings here shows the Town Center Drive vision. So if we go to that rendering really quick, I think this will help explain a little bit of why there's some optionality in this application. Hold it up. That one right there. So this is the entry drive, and this is a product type on the right there that is a wrap product. It would be wrapping a central garage, and typically when you see some of those designs, we have retail in the base of those apartments. So that's where the map had referenced retail for that block.
Go to the tentative map. So that's extending, again, based on the documents you guys provided, that's the extension of Town Center Drive.
Correct.
Down into the current wall, let's put it that way. That's where it's going to be built, presumably.
Could be built. It's the operative
lot four.
Yes, could be. If the market asks for a higher density, meaning instead of low-density townhouses, which is where the market is today, mm-hmm. if in a couple months or a year the market says, you know, really what you want to put here is a wrap product with retail below, we have that flexibility in this DA to be able to do that instead of just being stuck with a lower-density townhouse. We can go in that first phase as low as townhouse density, but we could go larger. That's, I think, the DA, Laura, allows us to do that, correct?
That's correct, in phase one.
Yeah,
yeah, good, because just to let you know is that when I saw this, okay, as presented,
yeah,
it made all the sense in the world to me. Okay, I was like, okay, if you have the commercial on the ground floor,
right.
This redesigned entryway, extending Town Center Drive, it's a win-win. Because then you reinforce, if you will, the village type nature of the mall and doing everything that you're talking about, integrating the parkland and so on and so forth. But I'll save my commentary for later. So my other question is this, with regard to the affordable housing, in the staff report it says that, and this is one thing that I like, but my question is this, 10% of all the units, 840 will be designated for affordable housing. 42 for low income, 42 moderate income units. Now looking at the affordable housing program, on page 3, it talks about a combination of housing types, which will include rental and for sale housing. Okay. One of the things that's been very important for this commission is affordable housing that is for sale. So that way we bring people in here into our community, not transients, but people who have a vested interest in the future of this community. So, but in, when I looked at the housing, affordable housing program document, it didn't say, is it going to be a 50-50 split? or why not? In the other, in the development agreement and other documents, there is the phasing in is that the affordable housing units will be integrated within each phase, phase one, two, three, okay, the 84 units. But there's no discussion what is the ratio of for sale and rental affordable units?
The affordable can be resolved either as rental or as for sale. It will all be on site. It will be at least 10% of the homes. As Laura mentioned, for the CPF benefit, one way to address that is to exceed the 10%. The type of affordable, meaning for sale or for rent, is going to be a function of what is built. And is the affordable going to just stay at pace or exceed that? It can be most efficient if one builds a larger amount of affordable up front, but then again, that's also very costly on the project. So this is only a horizontal zoning that we are asking for. The type of affordable is going to be a function of the product and the timing of the market.
So TBD is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Vice Chair Torres, if I could interrupt real quick, or clarify, the tentative map condition number 20 talks to the affordable housing agreement that's a requirement on the project, and that's required before final map. So all of those deal points are to be determined at that time, but it is a condition of approval.
That's fair enough. Okay, thank you.
Any other commissioner with clarifying questions? If not, I have Commissioner Palmer.
Maybe I might have more. I get that the mall is has struggled over the years, probably for a variety of reasons. But and when my wife and I go there, we're a little dismayed about the number of shops that have now been converted into fitness or offices or whatever. So I get wanting to reactivate it. I guess what my question is with Millennia, I know it's almost built out. I don't know if it is completely built out, but I think it's at least close. And with all the other stuff going into to the north side, and with the possibility that last I heard, the plan was is that the 125 was going to be toll-free beginning in 27, hopefully. What are the things that make us think that all of those things combined wouldn't bring the activity to the mall that we want to see versus having to make these changes to do what you're hoping to get?
Commissioner Felder, that's a great question because I struggle with that because there's a residential right across the street. What do the retailers care? Why does it have to be on site? We just recently added we took down the former Sears in suburban Seattle and we added 350 units to where the Sears was with retail, a very similar kind of a vision we're showing here. And even though we had apartments across the street, even though we had residents across the street, almost the same fact pattern, we couldn't get certain restaurants to look at us. All of a sudden, we get people living on the property on site, and they're like, this is cool, this is different. I can't explain it. It's a little bit of taking what is thought of as a traditional shopping center, a 10-hour city, and turning it into an 18-hour city, where people are physically walking around by their apartments as opposed to driving from across the street. It doesn't make sense, but in retailers and restaurants, local restaurants, mines particularly, they will now look at that site when you get residents on your property. It's just the nature of kind of what we're seeing out there right now. I don't know if that answers your question satisfactorily, but it's kind of what we're seeing.
So your thoughts then are that even after we wait for all this new housing to be completed, people to actually move in on the north side as well as the rest of Millennia and the 125 making it easier to get to the mall, less costly, easier, quicker for people that avoid the tolls, you're still thinking that that wouldn't be enough?
Fundamentally, we still draw from the broader trade area, right?
Right.
Even if you had 804 units at full build-out, that doesn't change all of our sales, but it's a little bit of a cool factor. When people are at a retail property, it ceases to just be a pure retail mall. Like people just, when you go to the shopping mall, you're gonna go from the hours of maybe 10 a.m. to 6 or 7. When people are there living on property, walking around, there's more activity, and all of a sudden your hours feel a little more extended. People feel more comfortable coming later into the evening into the shopping center. It's a perception thing when people just see people living on a property and there's retail adjacent to it. That's kind of really the mixed use magic.
All right, thank you.
Good.
All right. I have a question. Not sure if it's a clarifying question, but if memory serves, there was actually a satellite office for the police department. Will that be coming back, or is that beyond the scope of this approval? Because the reason I ask is because it seems like it might be necessary with more, you know, with more more residential and better commercial.
I think we would welcome it. I had lunch today with the property manager, Tim Kilcourse, and he said we do have a lease that is more of a storefront, and that will be something in the future that we would like to either expand. I think the CFP allows for the additional square footage, and that could be a permitted use that we could throw out there as a potential option just to get a larger police presence at the property, because it always helps.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right. Just a couple of clarifying questions for mine. In terms of the number of units, I believe it says up to 840.
I'm sorry, Chair, what's the question?
The agreement is up to 840.
The development agreement is split up into three phases to build up to 840 by the third and final phase. Yes.
And for our rules and regulation, and I'm finding it hard to do the calculation in terms of affordable housing that would be in this. So we can't really pin down that number because we don't know if it will be 840 or what the minimum number. What is the minimum number? What is the minimum number that can go in, and what would be the affordable housing unit that would accompany or be required?
So the goal is that there is a floor of 435 units in the project. So that would be the 44 units. We're going to round up 43 and a half, go up to 44. The intent, again, there is going to be an affordable housing agreement as tied to this. We know it's phased. The goal would be as units are built, then that 10% is built in. But your range is 435 to 840.
And in regards to my second question is in terms of the recreational park space, understanding what the applicant's trying to do in it, and I do understand the concept. In fact, I certainly understand what the mall is trying to do, and I've seen this in other places. You can see it in San Francisco, San Jose, Las Vegas. I mean, they absolutely have, you know, retail, commercial on the bottom, and even regional sites. You have Targets and, you know, residential on top, and it activates the area, which I certainly understand. But knowing that there's such a difference between the number of units that we might get, I'm just curious in terms of the number of park space that's being allocated, in terms of how we came up with that number. Is that on the baseline, or was that on the maximum, or where are we on park space?
So the parkland obligations was part of the negotiation with the applicant team, based on lots available. That was negotiated. The entire, if built to 840, it's the 6.57 acres that's required. They are providing to us, as usable parkland acreage, I'm going to use the term usable, is 2.56 acres of that 6.57. So that delta in that acreage would be paid in park benefit fees. And those lots are scattered throughout the proposal. Do you want to see the exhibit?
Yeah, and I have a question for the applicant in terms of your experience in this proposed product and having this urbanized density and mixed use. I am curious because that is short in terms of what our requirement standards are. Understanding, right, I don't think we're putting a ballpark there, but in terms of providing the adequate park space for the residents that are going to be there, if it's up to 840 and even if it's 400, you certainly have a new courtyard. I think you're trying to activate, get those folks into the mall itself, but I'm just trying to understand the logic in terms of, and there seems to be a shortage here.
So the challenge, I think, in this discussion is this is very dense for South Bay. So we have a footprint, a net acre footprint of residential of 10 acres. We then looked around, this is good enough. You've got on this map in green circles, the number's 5 on the left side. That shows the 3 parks on the left. And on the teal color 4 on the plaza, that would be the plaza park. Those represent about 2.56 acres of future park. The total development footprint of this project is 16 acres. That 16 includes Town Center Drive's extension and the new other roads. So when we go to a higher density product and we have more people in a smaller land footprint, we would have essentially, if we just all were to do it in park, we would have to find 6.5 acres of park on the mall property. Doing that would be a big challenge because now we're not going to have the parking ratios that other questions asked. Are we going to be sufficiently parked for the residential and for the retail? So what we did is we worked closely with staff and our design team and identified those portions of the mall that would be the best candidates to become future park space, as represented by those four dots on the prior map, which equated to the about 2.5 acres of on-site park. To suffice the additional park obligations we have, that's where we're paying fees beyond it. Just simply, we've run out of land. As you go up with lots of density and have a lot of ground coverage, you have the challenge of physically finding where that space is. So I don't know if that directly answered your question.
I certainly get it. If the choice has been made. Right. I get the constraint. You're choosing to do the density, which leaves you with the gap for the parkland.
Correct.
That's what I'm asking is, in terms of your experience and other products that you've built, has that been successful? I mean, obviously you're proposing it here today. I mean, that just seems to be quite a bit of gap.
The success for right. Excuse me. The success for this, what we're talking about, is going to become the urban nature of it. So in other words, we may not have the ability to do a 5-acre mini park or community park that has a ball field and basketball and stuff like that. We don't have the room. What we do have is we've got two amenities, really. We've got smaller parks. In some areas, you might almost call them pocket parks. We have smaller parks here, each with a different theme. Dog park, active and passive park. Those parks are going to be adjacent to residents not only of the mall, but of Tibaldwin to the north and the neighboring community. So these can then become parks that go to the other amenity, which is the mall. We've extended it, as Jim said, by bringing residential, you're taking a 10-hour activity center to an 18. So if you're like me, I go to the gym at 6 a.m. I walk to the gym because it's close by. That's my regional amenity. But I can also go take the dog out to a small park on the way to or the way back from the gym. So you're creating special places that are more usable for people at different times of day. Yes, there's not going to be a ball field so that there's going to be a Saturday soccer or a baseball game there, but it's opening up the mall and these special places that can create activity. So not every place is the same, but it can be equally active. So I don't know if that's entirely helping. When you go to other cities like you said,
I guess the place is going to be activated to where the activity by the residents are going to find themselves location-based and find themselves enjoying the amenities, which would cause activity to enjoy the space that's created through the development, is what you're saying. So no, I get that. I just was curious. All right, so I don't have any more additional questions.
Commissioner Fowler, absolutely. No, go ahead.
One last one. The EIR obviously evaluated traffic already, and I think the presentation said that there's really no change in the overall traffic. What I'm wondering is, obviously, the timing of the traffic is going to be very different now. So instead of, even though you have the same number throughout the day, now you're going to have 840 residences in addition to all the other ones that are being built on the north. All trying to get out of there to go to work, let's say, between 6 and 8 in the morning, and they're all coming home somewhere between 4 to 6 at night. Instead of coming throughout the day, you know, the mall opens at 9, closes at 10, or whatever it is, at 9, or whatever it is. And so, they're, you know, people coming to the mall are coming, you know, incrementally throughout the day. They come for an hour, shop, and then they go home, or for a couple hours, whatever. And now it's all going to be bunched up early in the day and, you know, early evening, late afternoon kind of thing. So, what kind of thought is there to try to help handle that volume that's all going to happen in a much more condensed?
So thank you, Commissioner. And the applicant team can come up and provide some additional detail. But in the addendum at pages 26 through 28, it discussed the issues with respect to traffic compared to what was studied
in the EIR certified in 2003, found that in addition to there being no increase in overall trips, there was also no significant increase with respect to AM peak or PM peak trips. Slight increase over what was studied in 2003 with respect to AM peak hours, but still nothing that rises to the level of significant impact. So that was part of the local mobility analysis, the LMA that was done for the project, and that was the determination. And if there's any additional information that you like, I think the applicant team can provide that.
Ted Chow with the Atlantis Group. Kevin's done a great job of explaining it, the way the trips work. Yes, there's a little more in the morning, but also people that are coming in the evening can, and often points we've talked about it, there are people that would live there, so they're there. So they come in and they will go to their unit, and then they will go shop, they will go get something to eat. Those are people that are there, they're not driving back and forth to one of the neighborhoods.
Yeah, I was referring to driving in after work, coming home again. And so that's why I was thinking about the bunching between, say, 6 and 8, roughly, and between, say, 4 and 6 in the evening, as they're going to and coming home from work to this location. So I don't know if you have anything else to add. I think.
No, he's done a great job. I didn't know he's a traffic engineer.
At least he plays one. No,
I do.
Appreciate it.
So again, just to put a bow on that, Table 8 in the addendum, and this is page, I think, 27 of the addendum, identify that there would be a net reduction in PM peak hour trips with respect to this change in the land use. Okay.
Sorry, that's it. No worries. I was going to say sorry. Absolutely. I'm glad you had questions. Commissioner Sample, please.
I had a quick question because apparently the park usage is very important. Can we adopt? I know today is about zoning, but could we keep in mind the park square footage by using or adopting a Japanese similar urban where you like a parking garage? You would increase by up here the soccer field with nets like Top Flight has in Vegas for golfing. And then at the lower level would be something other, whatever the design comes up with, and then we're going to work it up with staff so we don't pinch down, because I'm a dog lover. I also have a horse, but I don't think all public are going to want to walk through that space or walk on top of things that, you know, may be in their way. So we had some type of tier structure in one area, you can double the square footage. This is a thought. I'm not trying to increase your project costs. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one more last question for the applicant. In terms of, there was an economic study, I think, that was done by the applicant in terms of looking at regional serving commercial space. The conclusion was that, can someone share the conclusion in terms of what the findings were over the next, whatever the period was, in terms of those findings, whether it was found to be in excess, the region was found to be in excess of, or the region serving the east side and regionally?
I'm sorry, can you restate your question?
Yes. The question was, I think there was a market analysis done for a regional serving commercial, and if you could just share the findings in terms of if you found it was in meeting the needs, in excess of the needs for the future needs, or I'm just trying to understand in terms of we're eliminating regional commercial spaces, what the request is. So I'm trying to understand. understand in terms of if staff or if the applicant reviewed that in terms of analysis and what that conclusion was.
Sure. We did two different things, physical impact analysis and a commercial lands analysis. Both came to the conclusion that this change was a net benefit to the city from a tax basis, both sales tax and property tax, that there was sufficient capacity in the overall regional commercial network, if you will, to accommodate this, I'm going to call it theoretical reduction, because the existing 669,000 square feet on the mall doesn't go away. It stays there and it actually maintains the potential to increase it over time.
I think also,
my number may be off, Commissioner. As I was reviewing this afternoon, that study, the commercial lands analysis that was done by HRNA for us, I think it indicated that there's 127 acres of commercially zoned land as a future potential over the next 20 years. Laura or Arturo might remember those numbers a lot better than I do, but what the study basically said is, yes, you were taking away 145,000 square feet of potential retail space, but you have considerable retail zoning that even with population increase will provide sufficient space for future retail in the area. I think my number was right. I might have been off a little bit, but that was the bottom line of the finding.
I think that's consistent with what I read in the staff's report. I'm just curious if you had anything to add. Laura or staff, do you have anything else to add to that? Or? All right, so we're going to move on to public comment if there's no other clarifying questions. Right. So, Madam Secretary, is there any public comment on this item?
Yes, Chair De La Rosa, there are 66 written comments submitted in opposition to the item, and 3 were written comments submitted in support of the item. And then I would also like to note that 42 of those comments were submitted under item 5.
Okay. So I'll now open the public hearing, and I will call up the speakers who requested to speak, I believe, not just register. Am I correct? So the first speaker we have is Ms. Debbie Espy.
Good evening, members of the Chula Vista Planning Commission. My name is Debbie Espy. I am a San Diego native, born here in San Diego, of course, but raised in the South County. I'm currently an executive board member for the Asian Business Association, as well as the chair of the South County Economic Development Council. We are dedicated to fostering economic growth and enhancing the quality of life in our community. I'm here to express, particularly for South County EDC's, its support for item 6-1 for the proposed rezoning of Otay Ranch Town Center. This rezone aligns with our mission to promote sustainable development and address the growing housing needs of our region. The addition of the multi-family condominium apartments, including housing for senior and affordable units, will not only help alleviate the housing shortage, but also stimulate the economic activity by attracting new residents and businesses to the area. We believe that this rezoning initiative will bring numerous benefits, including increased economic opportunities, improved infrastructure, and a more dynamic community space. We urge the Planning Commission here to approve the rezoning proposal and support the continued growth and prosperity of Chula Vista. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Our second speaker would be Myra Polito.
Good afternoon, Planning Commission. My name is Myra Polito. I am a Chula Vista resident. I live in the Otay Ranch community right in front of where this development is set to happen. And I would like like to read to you a statement that I created. I am here today to formally object to the proposed item 6.1. I oppose the rezoning of the northwest quadrant of the Otay Ranch Mall area, and my objections are based on several critical concerns. Number one is inadequate infrastructure. It's nice to look at the small picture, but when you think of the big picture, have you thought about the freeways that are going to be servicing these people? The addition of 840 planned new residences will exacerbate existing traffic issues. The current 125 toll freeway infrastructure cannot support this increase without significant upgrades, which have not been adequately addressed in this proposal. As a daily user of this road, I have observed increasing traffic, particularly during morning peak hours, and access to the 54 freeway, which is the end of the 125. Has become more time-consuming, even though the connecting 125 freeway is a toll road. The nearest alternative, the 805 freeway, is nearly 5 miles away and is already difficult to access through nearby streets like Olympic Parkway or Telegraph Canyon Road due to heavy traffic due to construction and nearby developments. Traffic congestion is already a significant problem in this area, and the expected influx of new residents will only worsen it. Number two, parking issues. The planned residences will likely exacerbate parking shortages in the area. Many families today, as my family itself, are multi-generational homes. So it's not the cookie cutter, two people driving one home. It's grandkids that are still living with their parents due to economical conditions. So new developments rarely provide sufficient parking to accommodate this. This will lead to increased street parking and congestion, especially on Town Center Drive and the other nearby public streets, which will complicate an already strained infrastructure. Community overdevelopment. There are multiple similar ongoing construction projects in the vicinity, and the addition of even more housing will only contribute to overpopulation and an additional unnecessary burden on local services. Noise and safety concerns. As a resident directly across from the proposed construction site, I am deeply concerned about the noise, debris, and potential hazards associated with the demolition and subsequent construction activities. This disruption will significantly affect my quality of life and that of my neighbors. Lack of public services. The surrounding area lacks essential public services such as police stations and closer hospitals. With crime reports rising, police helicopters in the area almost every weekend, increased car theft and unchecked road rage incidents due to the lack of police presence, adding more residences without improving safety measures first is reckless. We need to prioritize the safety and well-being of current residents before considering more housing developments. Loss of community spaces. The demolition of the existing soccer field, a vital community resource for over 6,000 East Lake Soccer League users, is particularly troubling. Our community is already in need of more public spaces, not fewer. Even though the proposal is adding a pedestrian plaza and urban park amenities, we already have a planned park just a couple hundred feet away from the proposed area. And more importantly, the soccer field is a unique and irreplaceable cornerstone to our community. The loss of this facility will adversely affect many local families and children who rely on it for recreation and sports. Also, there will be an impact on childcare facilities. The redevelopment will eliminate outdoor play facilities for daycare children, and also, and more importantly, traffic concerns on Town Center Drive. Even with proposed expansions, the traffic on Town Center Drive, which is the proposed main artery of this plan, will likely become unbearable. The current design for the street, which requires drivers to back into the parking stalls and has three different traffic lights that are already adding a significant time increase to our daily commute, creates additional congestion, especially during peak hours when school buses are present. This will hinder access for our residents and exacerbate existing traffic problems. I urge the Planning Commission to reconsider this proposal and prioritize the needs of existing residents and the overall community well-being. As a resident of the Otay Ranch area, I sincerely appreciate your attention to these important points. I hope my first-hand experience can provide insights that may not be captured by a generalized report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. That was impressive, right on.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is and I apologize if I get the name incorrectly, Sasan Rahimzadeh.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Sasan Rahimzadeh. I am a 35-year business owner here in Chula Vista and a 30-year resident of Chula Vista. I live actually about a mile away from the this project. I have also been a part of the community advisory group that started this project about 3 years ago or so. And I have to say, frankly, I have been on a couple of other commissions within the city myself, and so I've been kind of involved with everything that goes on here in the city. And as somebody who was rather critical, frankly, in the beginning of it, based on the initial proposal that was brought to the CAG, I found the Brookfield group to be very, very mindful and having an active listening ear to what we had to say. So if you look at what was proposed in the beginning to what you're seeing here today, it is drastically different. Parking issues, traffic flow, where everything was supposed to be, a lot of those issues were also on the top of all of our minds initially. And going along with Brookfield, in the multiple meetings that there was, every time we saw improvements on, and I could tell that there was actually very active notes taken and those adjustments were made, such as the park that you see right there in the middle of the little the main road, what do you call Main Street there. That was actually, that came up one of those meetings, and we discussed how it could benefit both the mall, which I think the town center is probably a better name for it now than the mall, because it's not your typical mall. And all of those things were brought up to the community. Frankly, unfortunately, I think the idea of traffic being too much in the area, I mean, we're about maybe 40 years past that point now. I mean, I've lived here long enough to know when Otay Ranch was an actual working, operating ranch. You could see the cows driving down on Telegraph Canyon. Those days are gone. We can't get them back. So we can't, you know, this idea of thinking density is just bad, getting worse, getting worse, getting worse. Well, that was the initial plan. And as a resident, I frankly look forward to it. To see this growth, to see this, amazing opportunities that we have in the city as a whole, not just in Otay Ranch, to come to fruition. And seeing projects like this makes me hopeful for the future of our city. And I can tell you, being involved in it for the last couple of years, it really made me hopeful to hear that developers are actually listening. You folks did listen, so we appreciate that. And it wasn't at all something that they just threw and said, well, this is it. And I think part of the other thing also with the traffic flow, which I hope you considered, with the 125, you know, that's still hopefully becoming toll-free, but I don't know if that's necessarily good or bad, but Birch Road on the south end of this project also has an exit right off the 125. And that whole end of the parking lot is barely used or touched. So that could definitely create a lot of the overflow that would be potentially there. So again, as a resident who will definitely be impacted by this, I feel I'm very much in favor of it, because I think it will benefit the whole community as a whole. Thank you.
Great, thank you. No public speakers?
No, we don't have any additional.
All right, so now I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And we'll move on to deliberation by the commissioners. First up is Commissioner Lane.
Thank you. I wanted to address some of the concerns that we've gotten from the residents, that there's a lot of passion in regards to these issues. So one of them is going to be the parking. We can start there. So the parking doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue. Just based on the study, it's going to be a wash pretty much. The other The other thing I wanted to address is the soccer field, because that's something that's actually dear to me. I have children who play youth sports. I played youth sports right here in Chula Vista when I was a kid. And I think that the soccer field is something that we forget that is temporary. So if we do nothing today, if this does not move forward, if the city council beyond us does not move forward with this, that soccer field can be gone. It can be gone without anyone else having to do anything other than them submitting a permit for a commercial building to go there. So it could be a big box retailer or whatever. And so one of the things that I would like to ask the developer, and this actually applies to every developer in town, major developer, is to think about how they purpose the parks, because the parks with the walking paths that are DG and concrete and the trees and whatnot, they look really, really cool on the renderings. But as far as the usability goes, they do not come close to the usability of the parks that are being used for sports. And so one example, we have a park across the street at the library. If you go there on a Saturday, you might have a dozen people max there, because you have trees, you have rolling grass, etc. You go to Mountain Hawk Park or one of the other parks that have the sports league, and you'll have a few hundred people going through there. So one of the things that I would ask is if it's possible to incorporate sports fields. I know these parks are small, so if it's not on this park, somewhere else or the next park that we do, because that is a major issue with youth sports leagues. They don't have enough space. There's always a constant battle and a fight for time for games, practices, etc. The other things that we want to consider in regards to the fact that they can build right now the commercial there is we need housing. So one of the concerns is indirectly pretty much the affordable housing issue, because when we do have these multi-generational families, it's really a housing issue. That is why they're multi-generational. If it was 20, 30 years ago, most likely the adult kids would have moved out because they would have been able to find themselves an affordable apartment or something else. Whereas today we're dealing with $900,000 median price for a home and $4,000 plus rents. So they can't do that. So this is gonna help address it in two ways, right? We're gonna have the affordable aspect, which is 10%. So if we go with the minimum, we're gonna have 44 affordable units coming online. If we go with the maximum, we're gonna have 84 affordable units coming online. But the other few hundred units are also gonna drive affordability, because the more we put onto the market, you're gonna keep rents down. When you have rent specials, when an apartment building comes online and they say 2 months for free, that's a reduction in rent. And so that is gonna help the affordability in those factors. So our choice is not to keep what's there today, because what's there today is not what they're entitled to. They're entitled to build 200,000 more square feet of retail if we do nothing. So the question is, do we want what is proposed, or do we want possibly a big box retailer going in where that soccer field and where those where the parking lot area is on that northwest corner? So I think that's a different way of looking at it versus just what's there today. The other aspect I'll bring up, and this is kind of off topic, but in relation to these soccer fields in the parks, there's got to be a major developer who should look into some sort of sports complex here. The one in Santee, you have one in Oceanside, you have one in Encinitas. Those are massive successes, and we need one here. I can name dozens and dozens of families that are from Chula Vista and the sports leagues that jump in their car and drive 45 minutes to these other sports complexes, and there's got to be a massive demand here for it. So if we can find the space for it, then that's another thing that you guys should definitely consider. But other than that, that's pretty much what I have on this.
Well, one, I want to voice my overall general support of this. I did go through all the documents, as I'm prone to do, but I'm still concerned about some of the loss of detail or ambiguity. One was about the affordable housing program element, but I'm going to rely on staff as this thing progresses in the development agreement. I know staff is a great guardian of that and making sure that we do get units that are not just for rent, but also for sale. So I trust them on that. But before I go on, I want to remind the commission, we approved something similar to this just last year, if you remember, at Chula Vista, the mall at Chula Vista. They tore down, we approved the tear down of JCPenney and the construction, I think it was 240 Sears, and 244 residential units. If I remember, most of them are for sale, I can recall.
They are all market rate.
Oh, yep. And that's really going to ensure the viability of that mall. And for me, I mean, I shop at Macy's a lot of here at the Otay Mall, and I'm always stunned by how there's nobody in there. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what day of the week I'm in there or what time of the day, it's almost like a ghost town. Even though my wife goes to Pilates there down on the strip twice a week, so we're there quite a bit. So in general, I am supportive of it, but what I'm really troubles me is the loss of the commercial. It's one thing to say, hey, depending on what happens in the phasing of the of this development, and potentially phase three, we may redevelop the existing commercial corridor that's there, as opposed to building ground floor commercial units extending from Town Center Drive. To me, that's a no-brainer. I mean, how the developer cannot think that it's a no-brainer, how it would actually reinforce everything that you want to do, your vision, how it would not reinforce that is beyond me, as opposed to just simply, hey, we create more residential, we'll have more feeders into the current commercial development that's there. It's beyond me, but again, you guys are the pros on this, but I would really give you my two cents and for you to really rethink that, because again, when I looked at the tentative map, and again, it kind of misidentified where that 37,000 square feet is going to be constructed, because there is a footnote that says that there's going to be redevelopment of existing as opposed to creation of new, but it misidentifies for me the lot where it's going to take place. So that's why I was like, okay, well, if we're talking about the extension of Town Center Drive and putting ground floor commercial, win-win. How can we oppose this? Because it reinforces what's there, it builds on what's there. So anyway, but in general, I am in support of this, but with some trepidation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been reading a lot of what's been said in our required reading. There's been 40 some odd people who've told us that they oppose this project for various reasons. First of all, somebody said something about crime. I'm not really concerned. I mean, I'm concerned about crime, obviously, but that's a function of the person's heart and choices and life circumstances rather than a function of location, density, or cost. So I don't put as much into the, you know, so as much as I care, I don't want to put too much into that. But then I'm struggling with traffic and parking, because on the one hand, we have a traffic engineer who's saying it is going to be sufficient, a qualified traffic engineer. And on the other hand, we have people who live in the community and have seen it with their own eyes. So I'm kind of struggling, and I can see some people nodding. So who's right? Unfortunately, nobody has a crystal ball. There's always those what-if factors. So I'm kind of struggling with that. Some people have mentioned schools, but that's a question for the school boards. I don't think we're allowed to consider that in our deliberations. Okay. So I do have some trepidation about this, but But we have to make a decision, and I'm so far, unless I hear something else from another commissioner or somebody else, I will, you know, I feel like I can support this. Thank you.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to add because I think we've covered quite a bit of ground tonight on many of the points. In general, I feel like I can definitely relate to Commissioner Lael's notes about what we have now is not much, right? It's the current use. There is definitely the possibility of just leaving it the way it is, expanding it in commercial use as it's been originally zoned. But it also hasn't been, you know, developed that way in 15 years, I think, since the mall was built. So, you know, it's a product like this, I do believe, is something that I know this commission has seen before. As we noted, we saw something very similar last year. I've seen this in other cities. I've seen it, you know, in just other parts of California too. So I do definitely understand the developer's perspective, and this is definitely a little bit more of what the future looks like in some of these areas. You know, and so, you know, having lived in the East Lake community myself for the last 23 years, having raised my family here, having seen all of the different phases of, you know, the mall, the whole area developing and surrounding and all the changes that have come with that, you know, I can definitely understand and appreciate all of the concerns too, to traffic and parking and density and schools and all of those things. I've lived through it myself, and, you know, and I'm not, you know, downplaying any of those concerns, but I do feel that in general, this project has been well considered. I think the fact that there's been a lot of effort by the developer who, you know, put into the community engagement aspect, which I think is really important because it's, you know, it is a central part of this neighborhood in particular and the city. But for those of us who live and work and do all of our things in this part of town, like myself, you know, just knowing that we've got a little bit of revitalization coming, I think is also exciting. So I think there's parts of the project that are really well designed. I personally really like the considerations that have gone into the new northern entry, the center courtyard area. I think my biggest concern of all of it is the park space. And that's something I understand that is, you know, not as much of there's not many options to increase that. I do really though wish that there would be some reconsideration for it giving us a little bit more of that, especially considering the existing dog park is, albeit is a public space, it is not necessarily a public space for all, so I feel like there should be some consideration there that, you know, that we add a little bit more to that parkland, you know, number, if we can find a way. But aside from that, I think I also generally, you know, feel that I can support this project the way, you know, it's been presented with some caveats, and I feel like the city staff has done, you know, a lot of work in preparing, you know, the project for this, you know, for this place we're at right now. So I appreciate all of that as well, and think that, you know, the way we've got it presented to us is something I can support moving forward.
Thank you. Before we entertain a motion, just real quick, so Commissioner, you weren't there. That's why I completely skipped you. I wouldn't have done that. All right. Oh, okay. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Commissioner.
First, I want to say something that I don't know that most of the public realizes, and Commissioner Combs hit it on the schools, but freeways were mentioned, and that's another area that, as far as I know, the state prohibits us from considering. That's a state responsibility and function, so we can't evaluate that either. So we have to leave it to the state to make sure that the freeways are going to be sufficient. And as far as the other traffic, so before I go there, let me take a step back. So this has been really difficult for me. I've struggled over the years how we keep chipping away at this mall, at the whole complex, and the potential retail as well as the, well, not so much the existing retail, but the potential retail. There was a lot of excitement when this mall was proposed, when it was built, and there was room for future expansion and so on and so forth. I think a few things really, probably more than one. Amazon probably doesn't help, but the fact that 125 was a toll road, I think, really hurt that mall. I think the recession that occurred a few years after the mall was completed significantly damaged what could have been as well. But I have been concerned about the chipping away at that mall, especially given that the last time I saw any numbers, and I haven't seen them lately, but I don't imagine they've changed significantly. Chula Vista is one of the lowest cities in the county for sales tax revenue. And I don't know if that's still the case, but the last time I saw the numbers, that's the way it was. And so to eliminate potential commercial space really concerns me. And I think from the slide, I couldn't remember the year that it happened. I guess it was 2015. Was the first time we really chipped away at some of the potential retail, and that was a concern, and that was a controversial move at the time as well. I don't remember. I know there was a fair split on the Planning Commission by at least a couple people, but I don't know. Obviously it passed, so the Planning Commission must have passed it, or it was appealed and the City Council approved it. I don't remember the exact history. And then we chipped away at it again a few years later, and now we're looking at chipping away at it again. So I've been struggling with this, and I, as I read the documents, I really came here pretty much opposed. Hearing some of what I've heard tonight has helped. And one of the things that comforts me a little bit, because I am still a little concerned with the traffic, regardless of what the EIR said about timing, it just seems like you have a mall and the traffic kind of comes and goes throughout the day, and it's usually more middle of the day or into the evening. But what I'm encouraged by is, and it's kind of regrettable that there's still, in my view, there's still enough growth going on in Chula Vista that I think it was premature to end the Growth Management Oversight Commission, at least for certain areas. I don't know if we needed to cover all the areas that the Growth Management Oversight Commission oversaw, but traffic is one that I think is an important one, because it does affect people pretty significantly. What I'm encouraged by, though, is previous years I was the Planning Commission rep on the Growth Management Oversight Commission. And I was encouraged by how diligent the city traffic engineers, at the time it was Frank Rivera, but I think he's retired since, how diligent they were to follow the traffic patterns, to study it, to do things in different areas to improve. Now, granted, the fact that the Growth Management Oversight Commission was kind of overseeing that probably gave a little bit more impetus for them to do that. But I know that when they identify problems, they're generally pretty good at trying to resolve them, whether it's timing of lights, traffic lights, whether it's changing the configuration of the intersection or whatnot. So I'm encouraged by that, and I think that'll probably still go on. But I can't say that I'm without any concerns on this. This does trouble me, but I do see that it does seem to be the future. Yeah, we saw the same thing at the Chula Vista Mall, where even though that mall seems to be somewhat more active in a lot of ways, at least when I go there, and I don't go to either one of them very often, but when I go there, it seems like that one's more active. Maybe it's because it's got more of the food court areas than Otay Ranch Mall does, and I think that draws a lot of people. But it just seems like, unfortunately, this is kind of the way it's going. And maybe it's because a lot of people really like that urban life, so, you know, bringing the density to the mall, and people can walk downstairs from their unit down down to the street and walk, you know, to the shops or the restaurants, seems to be appealing. So I have concerns. I'm anxious to hear whatever other comments might still come, but this is a tough one.
Thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to make some comments. From, we're open to deliberation, but additional comments from the public, or? Please.
You know, everyone brings up an excellent point, and those all, I think they all could be with sincere, thoughtful process be mitigated. I'm not going to say that everybody's going to be happy with the outcome of tonight or moving forward, but there's been a lot of real from the public and up here been some real concerns, and I think those need to be like more micro focused. The park, the soccer field, is a great example of the community that happens to live out there for the most part. They don't travel from way far away unless they're coming to Tijuana, and I can't say either way that that's happening. But my son plays lacrosse, so my daughter, he played baseball, so I'm a big sports person too. I don't think you're going to be making a big sports complex there, even though probably has a real nice one. Keep that maybe in the back of your mind, but the double-tiered Japanese thing, maybe you want to research that. I was concerned about the housing unit capacity on the hydrology for the EDU and the sewer. It said in the report that you'd be upgrading it, because I don't think a 10-inch main is going to hold that much more volume than it already does. And they intersect so many times around the mall, it looks like a traffic jam in itself for the sewer. A lot of good events occur at your mall. I don't know what Javier the X-Man's car show is going to look like in the future. That brings a lot of people to the eating area. It's an excellent cause too, and we all know what that's about. And where does that go in the future? Parking density, maybe you also think possible trolley or tram or something between certain hours. But because of that photo and being so dense, and I hate using that word, it's overused, security seems to be an issue. There's a lot of dark spots. You don't have security cameras. Nobody's mentioned about how you're going to upgrade the Children's Police Department's storefront, which is typically empty when I walk by it. Or they put senior citizens in there only for certain hours. There's no holding cell. This is one of the things that the Chief Kelly has an issue with about trying to create something out there, because the officers can't do their reports. They can't, detain somebody in a reasonable fashion, safe fashion. That space is way too small, and it's more symbolic than anything else. It's not functional. So when you're putting 1,000 more people on a pinhead, expand police, but at the same time, give some thought about the commercial, because that's where the revenue is. And hopefully the state changes that we don't have Macy's closing and Chula Vista like they are up in San Francisco and other places, in Los Santos. So security is key. Can't speak on the impact of that right now, but I think you have to present a wow factor somehow. This is just housing. This doesn't seem super wow, so keep that in mind. So, thanks.
Vice Chair, I'm just going to go ahead and take the chair's prerogative real quick, since we've all made comments. We're just going to make comments, and then you can possibly finish it off here. I'm supportive of the project. Simply looking at the mall itself, I don't think it's ever fully reached its potential. I am concerned about chipping away at the commercial regional use, but my hope is that by this rezone, we can bring some life into the mall that's needed, that's current in regards to what we're seeing in other locations and other locations that are successful. I do think that you know, we're not looking at any type of design here, but I do think that that's going to be very important as you carry this out in terms of carrying out this vision. But I am concerned about the loss of the regional space, and that I think that's something we've heard from the commissioners and we need to heed for any future proposals. I am also concerned about the park space, but I'm taking that in terms of the context of the whole proposal and this type of lifestyle and urbanized lifestyle and what's being proposed and what I've seen in other places. I think it is going to be a change for the residents, but I also think as I look at the zoning and what's going to be proposed there, I'm trying to envision you know, what's being proposed and what we might see later. But the open space that's being proposed and the walkability of a community, it is going to be tight. It's near a transit-oriented location, and I think if we were going to be looking at a particular type of development, those are the key things that we would be looking at in order to propose a development like this. But I do think, again, the park space and any continuing chipping of regional services like this, it does concern me. I don't think it precludes that type of regional services, depending on how that last phase is going to be looked at and how it's actually physically built in order to serve those residents. I would leave that up to the builder. I'm sure they're going to accommodate the market as they look at this and what other things are going to be adapted to. But I think what you're hearing is that if we all look at that mall, it's a beautiful mall, it's a beautiful location, but I don't think it's living up to the potential for all the reasons that we talked about. Housing shortage, the toll road, there's various aspects there. But there is concern in terms of what may happen in the future, but we are looking at what's happening and being proposed today, and I do think that this particular development would, I think, help in terms of getting some life back to that and bringing some modern type development and zoning to what we'd like to see in our region. So with that, is there a motion? I don't know, Vice Chair, you have some comments?
Yeah, just real quickly, I don't want to belabor the point, but for the applicant's own edification, is that one of the big concerns of this commission, especially from the prior chair of this commission, was economic development. And that whatever project comes before us, especially those projects that involve rezoning of industrial, commercial to residential, is finding a way to ensure some subsequent economic development. And that was very important to this commission, especially the previous chair of this commission who just departed, and now we have our new commissioner in his stead. So I want to bring that up again to the applicants, because the commission supports these projects, not just for the construction jobs that come about of it, but once that construction is done, what jobs remain? And that is why, for me, and I, again, the one of the blame at this point is for this applicant to really try hard to find the way to integrate ground floor commercial in its development, especially in those lots that extend from Town Center Drive into the mall. I just want to reaffirm that point and have and provide the context so you understand where we're coming from.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner Burroughs, did you have something else? Or was that? Commissioner Powell, was that you?
Okay. One quick thing. We haven't voted yet, so we don't know how this is going to turn out. Although it sounds like we know it's going to happen. But what I wanted to say is, so if this passes, and for any of you who are residents in the area, as I mentioned, we don't have the Growth Management Oversight Commission anymore. But if there do end up being traffic problems, make sure you let the traffic department of the city know, so that they know that you're facing issues and they can go out and take a look and see what they can do to fix those things. So keep that in mind, because you have that resource to call and see if they can do something. Thank you. Does someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve. I don't need to recite the whole thing, do I? To move approval of the resolutions and the ordinance, first reading, so on and so forth.
Make a second.
Vice Chair, could you read? I think we're trying to show, could you, just for the record, kind of go through? We've got it up on screen for you. In front of you?
Thank you.
Oh, actually, okay. Oh, from the agenda? Okay.
That's what I was looking at.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so what I was looking for in the agenda, so I move approval of resolution. I don't want to do the whole thing. I'll say certification, taking action on certification of the Fourth Amendment to the FEIR, amendments to the Chula Vista General Plan, a tentative map, and placing an ordinance on first reading regarding modifications to the Otay Ranch Freeway Commercial Plan Community District Regulations, and considering placing an ordinance on first reading regarding change in zoning from commercial to mixed-use residential. Consider placing an ordinance on first reading concerning a development agreement, allowing for the project to be constructed in phases. And I believe that's it.
So clarification, that would include the development agreement, correct, as proposed by staff?
Yeah, to clarify, that would be the motion by Vice Chair Torres would be to adopt items A, steps 1 through 3, items B, C, and D, as listed in the agenda for this evening, and that does include the development agreement.
Thank you. And there was a second by Commissioner Combs.
Sorry, I jumped the gun a little. Sorry.
No worries. So you didn't jump the gun. I have a clarifying question there. Please call for the vote.
Is your screen still on, Commissioner Torres?
Okay. Then I'm going to do a vote by roster.
Okay. Commissioner Burrows?
Yes.
That's a yes. The Commissioner Combs?
Yes.
That's a yes. Commissioner Felber?
Yes.
Yes. Commissioner Leal?
Yes.
Vice Chair Torres?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanfilippo? That's a yes. And Chair De La Rosa?
Yes.
That's a yes. Yes. So motion is moot and it's approved by all commissioners present.
Well, thank you all very much. Appreciate that item. It was a robust discussion. So with that, we will be moving on to action item number 7, but we will give folks a moment to depart if they'd like to go home and enjoy some extra time with their families. Unless you really want to stay, you're welcome.